The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Chris Cartman jumps today. I think it's time to go a little deeper into the college football, basketball state of things, opening back up. Will the season start on time with some of the news yesterday? And even earlier, it's been a good week, actually, I think. So we'll talk with Chris Cartman about that. Eric will have a 2020 vision. He'll talk about that here momentarily. Our opening comments brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. That is with life insurance. One of the big reasons why Sagicor is so important to me is their involvement in community. I just don't partner with anybody. And they don't just partner with anybody. So yesterday, I'm on a conference call with them at 8:30 in the morning to almost 10 a.m. yesterday. It was an hour and a half, talking about some community initiatives that Sagicor is looking at here in Arizona. Sagicor's brand is terrific across the country. They are corporate in Phoenix. They have corporate in Tampa. We're sitting there in a Zoom call talking about some things that I think would be very cool to hear community-wise. So, yeah, life insurance is a big part of it, of course. You can just pick up your phone while you're watching us and log on to Sagicor Now and get your free quote on your life insurance. Something everybody should have, but just understand this is not just some group. Very, very good people, community-minded, community-based. That's at Sagicor Now. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. Chris Cartman comes up at 10:20. Eric jumps on in now. What is new? I am optimistic. This feels like we are turning the corner on sports this week. Should I be? Are you?
Well, after reading the fallout of potentially not having college football, yeah. $4 billion in losses, not million, billion. I am just hoping that we see college football, because if we don't see college football, Brad, as you and I have talked about, we may not see college baseball. We may not see college track. We may wrestling. Not see a bunch of things yeah, moving soccer. Forward. So
that big S over your shoulder should be a big B that we were talking about.
Yeah, right.
Big B, like with billions of dollars. No, I mean, I think, look, Gene Smith yesterday afternoon, okay, for Ohio State's AD to finally talk publicly, that's a big voice. No offense to the AD at Towson State or Portland State or, you know, whatever, but when you're Gene Smith and you say, okay, in our 100,000-seat stadium, we will probably be able to bring in at minimum 22,000. And with social distancing, maybe 30. And people are excited. They're geeked up. And then this morning, he goes back to Twitter and says, well, you know, actually, if the guidelines relaxed, we might have 50,000. Okay. That's what Arizona State gets, is right around 40 to 50. U of A gets around 40 to 50 total fans. I'm just kidding. But for Gene Smith to say that, I think, was a pretty clear sign. It's like Greg Byrne, you know, when we had Greg on a few weeks back, saying, yeah, you know, we're open to playing anywhere at any point, anytime. Those are the voices that I need to hear. At some point, Ray needs to speak. No offense to Dave Hickey, but Dave Hickey saying, yeah, we're expecting 60,000 fans. Well, you never get 60,000 fans, so your voice does not really count, you know?
I think by the middle / end of June, there needs to be a blueprint in place, at least for college football, because we are getting to that 100-day mark. You know, all the college football preview magazines should be coming out next week. Will they be coming out? I don't know. Will we see the Street and Smith? But I know right around early June is when you can kind of see the finish line as to when the college football season is coming up.
Yesterday, I saw, again, Tyler Shuck and Gunnar Cruz, two Pac-12 quarterbacks. So they're telling me what's going on their campuses at Oregon and Washington State. And it sounds like middle of June in both of those cases. Now, the governors of those two states may have a differing view on things. But for those two players, the issue, I think, in Gunnar's case, we're talking about Washington State, they can't open up the cafeteria. So you're not going to say, hey, everybody get back here to get on campus because we can't open up the cafeteria. And then what does a cafeteria look like for college players moving forward? We talked about this last week, buffets and all that stuff. Those are things that are going to change. I thought this morning, I was going through my show notes, that the idea of the bands. bans at high school and bans at college, those are big deals. Bans at pro games very seldom happens, right? But the ancillary parts to football, bands, cheerleaders, those people, they are there to pursue whatever their dream may be. And that would be, are you going to be a cheerleader and show up and there's nobody in the stands? Are you going to put the band all together out on the field? It's the Ohio State band, but they dot the I, and it's like the biggest deal around. Are you going to travel a band? Are you going to put the band out there to compete in an empty stadium? Now, if they allow 20 to 30,000 fans, and they're sure. At the high school level, are we going to see any of that this year? Probably not.
Well, we should, because it would be easier, much easier to social distance a band and cheerleaders at a high school stadium than it would at a crowded, you know, packed. I know that's not going to be an issue because stadiums won't be packed, but I can't see there being a big problem with a high school band. Maybe we just see smaller high school bands.
Yeah, and we care about high school here. I mean, it's the pro side, I feel like that is going to happen, and there's entirely too much money at stake. The college end, yesterday afternoon, the news about Arizona State's game with UNLV being played at the new stadium, the Allegiant Stadium in Vegas, only solidifies the fact we have to get back to see Jimmy Vaccaro. Only solidifies the fact that we have to go do a show in Vegas. And maybe, and Eric and I never rehearse this stuff, but it's just me thinking out loud. Maybe we go back to Vegas, I don't know, in August, and they give us a behind-the-scenes tour of the stadium. We do the show from up there. The football AZ
cool.
show.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Our buddy Justin Spears down in Tucson made a great point on Twitter yesterday. He said, Allegiant Stadium looks like a gigantic Roomba. And it does. It looks like a gigantic Roomba. So you could put the stadium in your house and it would like vacuum all around in the crevices. I thought that was kind of funny. But yeah, I think that's a great opportunity for ASU. And again, who knows if fans are going to be allowed in it. But good for the players to be able to play in an amazing venue.
There's going to be some NBA talk today. There was some yesterday. Jared Dudley spoke. Jared Dudley should be head of the players' union. And Jared came out yesterday on a conference call with the LA media. He's still with the Lakers. And said, here's exactly what Adam Silver talked about. And went like point A, point B, point C. So if there's any, hey, don't go to the media on any of this stuff. He was just laying it out there why the players should be wanting to play. And there is going to be some room to move around when they do go, if they go to Orlando. It sounds like Orlando is the preference over Vegas. So we'll get to that in a little bit. The Suns have yet to say anything if they're reopening or not. It just feels like the Suns have disappeared.
Yeah, no player availability, no coach availability.
No.
They're just kind of doing their own thing, I guess. But that's all right.
All right. On the other side, first, your 2020 vision. What are you doing today on it?
2020 vision guest today is Giovanni Haddad. He is a four-year wide receiver at Paradise Valley. He's been catching passes from his good buddy, Ben Finley. And he also competes in track, or competed in track. So two-sport athlete with the Trojans. He'll be jumping on around 10:50-ish.
All right. We have Chris Cartman next, and we'll talk about the NBA on the other side of that and some other things. Stay with us. All right, I am optimistic, as I said earlier, that we are actually going to see a football season. I don't know if it's going to be a full football season, but when the UNLV-ASU story finally, it's been out there for a few weeks, but finally yesterday, it's like, yeah, it's going to be played at Allegiant Stadium. Okay, so they're getting that out there. The idea of ASU playing U of A twice in a season was something that was floated a few weeks back of within the Pac-12, like USC play UCLA at the start and at the end and all that. All that stuff sounds fine if you're sitting around with a peace pipe trying to figure something out. So I figured let's just go to Chris Cartman because he'll know. SunDevilsSource.com publisher and editor. And in all seriousness, it is good to see you. Your level of optimism today, Mr. Cartman, about a full season of football being played. Non-conference.
Full season, I would say maybe 80% confident, although I'm not 80% confident that it'll happen on time. I think there's still a really good chance that you end up with a delayed season or some kind of weird way that they put the schedule together where maybe some of the games are not in the order that they're currently situated. The revenue is too important to the non-Power 5 conference schools. I don't think that they're going to get left behind in this equation because they're not going to be able to survive that. And then that would sort of rip away at the underpinnings of college football. So I do think that we're likely to have a full season, although it might move into next year, next spring, part of it, some of it, all of it, I don't know.
The non-conference games. So if those games are wiped out, you're talking about athletic departments that basically are going to get wiped out because they rely on being the team that gets their tails kicked for these big old paydays. What have you heard about those games in particular?
So I think what's happening right now with the reopenings at a lot of these states is that's going to be used as a way to see where we're at with this situation. Most of the coaches I've spoken with, some administrators, not just at ASU, but other schools are saying you probably need to know by the end of June whether or not you're going to be able to have the schedule as it's currently constituted, right? And the only way that you really find that out is by getting an assessment of what happens in these states with if there's additional spread, if there's reduction of transmission, what kind of happens, how do these student athletes hold up when they go to the involuntary workouts, which are going to probably start here in around June 1st in most of the country, maybe even the Pac-12, we'll see. And I think those kinds of elements are going to inform what happens with the decision-making that probably will take place by around the end of June.
Chris Cartman with us for a couple of minutes. One other football question. Have you ever, in all the years of covering Arizona State, seen any amount of hype that Jaden Daniels is receiving around anybody else? A, yes, it's deserved, but B, there still is a part of me that's saying, just tap the brakes a little bit on this kid. Like, he's going to be the number one overall pick in the 2021 draft and or 2022 draft and all that. The hype part of it with Jaden Daniels.
Right. So you would agree, I'm sure, that the quarterback position is just such a focus in today's football, right? And ASU hasn't had a quarterback who was successful as a freshman going back to Jake Plummer. So it's been was on a losing, wasn't successful in terms of what the team did until much later on in his career. And I think it is too early to say that Jaden Daniels is going to be like a number one overall pick, which I have also seen. But I do agree that when you have a talented returning defense, you have a team that's been in bowl games 2 years in a row, and you have a sophomore quarterback who has the type of talent and upside that Jaden Daniels has, coupled with the fact that he only had one interception last year, which is incredible, really, when you think about it. Mm-hmm. Those things are going to elicit this type of a national response, especially in the world that we live in today with the media, which is always going to kind of overdo these sorts of storylines.
Really? Shocking.
Yeah, that happens a little bit now, Brad.
Wow, that is stunning. Chris Cartman with us, SunDevilSource.com. I want to switch over to basketball. Romello White, were you surprised with everything? Was Bobby Hurley caught completely off guard by this one?
I do think that the program was surprised by this. I had been hearing maybe up to a week or so before this happened that ASU coaches expected not just Romello White to return, but also Remy Martin and Alonzo Verge likely to return. I don't think that Romello White told anybody at ASU that this was in the cards for him. And certainly the timing of it was especially not appreciated by ASU's coaches, because if they had found out in March this was happening, or maybe even earlier this was happening, a lot more options available on the transfer market with junior college players, maybe even some high school players that were late in deciding what they were going to do. But when you find out at the tail end of April, it's already past the signing period. Almost all these kids have already made their decisions. And now you're in a major scramble mode to figure out what you're going to do to try to help stabilize your front court situation.
Okay, so a lot of this for fans that may not know, if you want to go deeper into it on the personal side, it makes sense, actually, on the personal side with what he has gone through or currently has in the way of obligations, right?
Yeah, there's he's got a child back home. His grandmother, who is extremely important person in his life, probably the most important person really in his life, died last year during the season. And he basically went on a less than 48 hours trip to South Carolina and came back to play. I think people need to understand that Romello White was pretty clearly voicing his displeasure at times last season after multiple losses. I remember when ASU went down to Tucson early in the year and lost badly. He was playing on a gimpy ankle, but he still said after that game, we're not moving the basketball. We're not doing the things that we need to be successful. He said the same thing after another loss at home. I think it was against Colorado. The ASU had started 1-3 in the conference, and White was really pushing his teammates to do a better job on the offensive end of the floor. So I think he was frustrated. And when you look at it, Brad, this is a guy who explored the idea of entering the NBA draft. It was very clear that he had no chance of being drafted. So he's thinking about this in terms of, how do I elevate my profile personally with getting more touches, maybe scoring the ball more at a place that allows me to maybe make more money when my college career is over, overseas or maybe even in the U.S.?
And that would be Ole Miss, which to me was a bit of a surprise on one end, given the Jerry Stackhouse relationship, but academically getting into Vanderbilt, from my understanding, that was going to be a bit of a challenge. Do you hear the same thing?
Well, no, I think the it depends on what you kind of want to study. He's a graduate of ASU, so he would have been able, I believe, to all the SEC schools have the same kind of general requirements on the NCAA side. So I think he would have been able to get into Vanderbilt. I don't know that he would have found a program, a study that would have been a match for him, though. That's really more the question. I'm not super surprised. I just think that he's looking for the right sort of overall situation for him with basketball.
And the coaching staff there was with Bobby one time at Ole Miss. So I think
yeah,
it was the
Levi Watkins. Who basically worked with him on a daily basis with Biggs until he departed for Ole Miss. Exactly.
Yeah. Jalen Graham, is he ready? I thought at times last year he showed flashes, but he doesn't have somebody alongside of him now.
I was a proponent, really, of Jalen Graham getting even more minutes last year, and I vocally said so on Twitter. There were a couple games that against bigger teams, they went with a taller lineup with Jalen Graham being paired with Romello White. I thought it looked good. It does limit you offensively with the ability to play out onto the floor, out beyond the three-point line with four players. I think that's a focus of Bobby Hurley that he really prefers. But I think Jalen Graham has a lot of upside as a Pac-12 post player. He's got really good poise and feel around the basket. He uses his feet extremely well. He's got good hands, scores over his shoulders. He's bouncy, plays above the rim. He has the ability to block shots. So I don't know that he's going to be ready to play the 30-plus minutes that Romello White played last season, but I do think that he's going to be able to at least double his minutes and be very productive, maybe somewhere in the 20-25-minute range.
Quickly, a couple other things. Remy and Verge, when will they know for sure that they are back or gone?
One of the challenges with this is with the uncertainty around the NBA schedule and when they're going to actually have the draft, if there's going to be movement to the withdrawal deadline. Those are kind of fluid situations. And so I don't think we're going to know in the next week to 2 weeks. I think it'll be more like probably in the middle of next month that we get a better idea about what they're going to do.
What's your gut tell you?
I think at least one of them will be back. I think that there is Alonzo Verge really does need another year to improve his positioning. I thought he really caught fire in the Pac-12 in February and March. Remy Martin, of course, has a chance to be the Pac-12 player of the year if he comes back, headline a team that has a chance to be one of the most prominent in the West. That has to be very appealing. I don't know that he's going to really improve his NBA stock that much by coming back. Right. So I think that comes down more to like what your personal priorities are. He's a guy who could probably go overseas to the Philippines, given his background, and immediately be a star player and make good six-figure amount of money.
One last question. Take some time on this. So a hockey arena is announced that's going to actually have some wrestling and some other sports within it at ASU. But there's nothing new on Desert Financial other than it feels like it's been put to the back burner. Chris, at some point, is Bobby going to say, I feel like he has already voiced his displeasure. He and Ray at times have not been talking. From my understanding, you would know better than I would. At what point does Bobby Hurley say, are we ever going to get something here so I'm not embarrassed to bring recruits through this new arena? And how does this hockey arena impact Bobby and just the view?
Yeah, I certainly do agree that ASU's basketball arena is at the bottom of the conference now, and it is a problem. It's not like they have a lot to sell on that side of the equation. They still have a very good practice arena. There's lots of other things that are kind of good for them with their practice facilities. I just think that it does sort of illustrate maybe to a basketball coach that the priorities aren't aligned with what I think is really important when you're spending tens of millions of dollars on an auxiliary arena that we're not going to be able to utilize. That's going to be for hockey. There's a much smaller turnout. And of course, Bobby Hurley has delivered to Arizona State the types of attendance that they always have been saying would be sort of a springboard to making a massive renovation or a new arena. So I do think that this matters. Of course, you have to frame this against the backdrop of what's happening with the COVID reality and the economics. Had ASU lined up the financing and had all this stuff in place, that might have actually been more problematic because they could have been in a situation where there could have been a lot more budget cuts or maybe even sport cuts to other sports as a result of this. So I think it's a challenging situation that Ray Anderson and his peers are in the ASU athletic department and the university at broad. But the underlining point that you make, I totally agree, and they're going to have to figure something out in order to keep the happiness of Bobby Hurley and ASU basketball where it needs to be, beyond just what they've done to extend his contract, give him more money mm-hmm. and resources in that respect.
Yeah, they're going to have to make a new arena in order to keep Bobby Hurley, not just to keep him happy, just to keep him.
Ultimately, he's going to have to believe that that is in the cards and it's not far down the road, for sure. I agree.
Always appreciate visiting with you. Always learn something from you. I appreciate the time. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Brad.
There's Chris Cartman with us, sundevilsource.com. You can check out all of his content, the publisher and editor, sundevilsource.com. And we're back with more after this timeout. So the NBA, every day I feel like I could just do a whole show on what might happen, what could happen. And you're in the space of just tell me what's going to happen. So yesterday, Jared Dudley, who I think is very much about the players, he's been in the league for a long time. He's with the Lakers. Some people just think he's a scrub. Off the court, he has a space where he is going to be in a leadership position at some point. I could totally see Jared Dudley in the broadcast end. I could see him in the agency end. I could see him in the players union. I can see all that for him. So he talked yesterday about how the season – yeah, Disney is probably going to be the place where they go and they get started in mid-July. Mid-July, usually in the sports calendar, is the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, and that is it. If we're talking about baseball this year, it sounds like July 1st, July 4th weekend, the season's going to get started. So the NHL, still up in the air. College football, because there's not been a spring, will they start their workouts a little bit earlier? Will the buzz be around college football that much sooner? Or, as Chris was talking about, Chris Cartman in the last segment, could we see a space where the season is pushed back and pushed back and pushed back? For basketball, the games would be in mid-July. If they're at Disney, the players would be allowed to move around somewhat. Will there be interest in a team like the Suns, who's sitting on the outside? There's talk of a play-in game. Jared referred to that in today's LA Times. Jared Dudley of potentially a team that is in the 9th, 10th, 11th playoff spot being able to play their way in. What does that do to a team like Memphis, who has a 3.5 game lead for the final spot? I think for you, the fans, basketball in Arizona, I'm a basketball guy. I am. High school, college, pro. I'm all about it. But I think with the Suns celebrating their 10-year anniversary next week of not having a playoff game, it is coming down to reality that there's just not a whole lot of interest except if LeBron is able to come back. Veteran players having this long of a layoff, that's not good. People are like, oh, LeBron will be rested up. I thought Jared made a good point. I agree with this through the years. If you talk to a veteran players want to keep the routine going. They're into their space. They're not used to, hey, by the way, you've been off for 8 weeks. Now get ramped back up. You're going to be fresh? Well, no, actually, I got to get my old bag of bones started again to get this thing across the finish line. So all in all, I feel like the NBA a month ago was no. I felt that baseball all along has been a, yeah, we're going to figure it out. It may not be pretty. In the last couple of days, college football, which is my first love on all of this, is taking a step forward, huge step forward. The NFL will figure it out. There's entirely too much money for the NFL to say, yeah, we're not going to play this season. They can play in empty stadiums and all that. All right, Eric's 2020 vision is on the other side. Stay with us.
Welcome back. I am Eric Sorensen, and we are pleased to do another 2020 vision guest here on Sports360AZ.com. For those of you that are just tuning in or are not aware of what we've been doing since early March, we are honoring one student athlete, boy or girl, from as many high schools around the state of Arizona as we can get to in the next couple of weeks until most of these virtual graduations or real graduations are done. Today, Giovanni Haddad, wide receiver for Paradise Valley, four-year varsity performer, joins us. Giovanni, thank you so much. How's life in quarantine treating you?
You know, it's been hard because I obviously want to see my friends, but it has been a good thing because I was able to see a lot of my family, be home a little bit, do some school, and kind of do a lot of home workouts, which is pretty cool too. So it was, you know, hard, and it was also a blessing at the same time to be able to be with my family.
In terms of the mental side of it, I like to ask the people that I've interviewed because it was such a drastic change. You go from being at PV, being around all your friends, doing the school thing, and then all of a sudden, boom, you're at home and everything is different. Have you been able to set up sort of a routine that isn't too routine?
Yeah, no, for sure. So usually I would get up around 10 o'clock and I would go and help my mom around the house, whatever she needed me to do. And then after that, I would kind of just, you know, have my own time, chill for a little bit, just do anything I could do to waste time. And I would have my workout around 12 or 1. My friend Jordan would come over. It would just be me and us two. We would keep our distance, and we would do like our own like conditioning, push-ups, workouts. I've been doing a lot of calisthenics too, which is pretty cool. Yeah.
Very nice. So on the field last year, 41 catches, 747 receiving yards, 6 touchdowns. As you've had some time to sort of reflect back on your 2019 senior season, what are you going to take away the most from playing with that group?
Just the brotherhood. Like that's the one thing about PV. We've always just been brothers. Like no matter what we've been through, where we've gone through, it was just so cool to be able to call them my teammates and to be able to just go on the field every Friday night and just play a game that we love. I play really hard and just try to get the W every night. And it was just a good time to be with them for sure.
The one thing I really respect about PV and the program that Greg Davis runs over there is the fact that you guys are never the biggest, never the strongest, rarely the fastest. You don't have 150 guys on your roster, but every year you go out and compete and play in a really tough division. What does that say about the job that not only the players did, but those coaches did, getting you guys prepared when, honestly, I think 2 years ago you had 22 varsity players? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, that's definitely like one of the things that we've always been known for. And it's kind of cool to be the underdog because whenever we show up and we play really well, and we would just shock. We like to use the word shock the nation. So we would shock everyone being how good we are because we might be small. Like you said, we might be small, not fast enough, not the biggest. But like we always have the heart in order to come out there and just no matter what's in front of us, we don't care. We're going to do anything we can in order to be successful on the field for sure. Yeah.
Now, there has to be something in the water up here in the North Valley between Pinnacle, Chaparral, Saguaro, Horizon. The common theme with those programs has been great quarterbacks, and PV falls right in line. Ryan Finley, Daniel Bridgegad, and then most recently, B-Fins, Ben Finley, one of your good friends who is at North Carolina State back, but I think he's probably going back relatively soon. What was it like to catch passes from a Power 5 quarterback like that?
Oh, I mean, honestly, it was such a blessing to have him be there for my 4 years because, you know, I would never, ever be worried for him to give me the ball. He would always put the ball in the right spot whenever I needed to make a play. And it was just always great chemistry between us on and off the field. And it was definitely just a great experience to be able to say that I got to play with a D1 quarterback. And it's just really cool to be able to say that.
And I think it also should be noted that not only you and Ben, but a big group of the 2020 senior class had been playing varsity together for 2, sometimes up to 3-4 years.
Yeah.
In terms of keeping in contact with your teammates and close friends, How has that been during quarantine?
So that's a great question. So actually, we have an app called Snapchat, like everyone should know, and we have a football senior group chat. And we have all our seniors in there, and we all always like to, you know, send jokes around and just be able to talk to see how everyone's doing, and like that's kind of how we keep in touch. And when all this quarantine's over, we're definitely all going to get together and have one more last hoorah before everyone else goes off to college. Excuse me.
Yeah. All right, Giovanni, I'm going to put you on the spot here. So I found out a lot from these student athletes about their interests outside of their sport during quarantine. We've had all kinds of viral TikTok videos, kids playing ping pong, student athletes learning how to cook, taking up a passion in puzzles. I know Jake Martinelli over at Horizon is like, he can't get enough puzzles to piece together. Yeah. Is there anything you picked up during quarantine, like a hobby or something different that you weren't doing before COVID-19?
So yes, TikTok has definitely been my go-to. I always love to go film TikToks with my friends, or with my sister or brother. It's just something to waste time, something to have a good time with. And I always love just sitting down and watching through the videos. It just makes me laugh. And being able to learn the dances and the stuff on the app was just kind of fun. It gave you a sweat too, so it was pretty cool.
Nice. So you got a little workout in there too. Well, for you, it was sort of a good news, bad news thing. The good news is you were able to finish your senior year of football. The bad news is I know you were set to compete in the high jump in track, and the track season obviously got cut completely short, as did all the other PV spring sports, whether it be, you know, softball, whatever. How did you deal with that quick end to not having any more sports and not being able to compete in track?
It was definitely a shock. Like I obviously never expected that to happen. I was very excited to be able to finish my senior year strong with my friends on the track team and with being able to see, because my wide receiver coach, he was able to coach track, and I was obviously so excited to be able to hang out with him the last couple months of high school, and just like the fact that it was just all, you know, all done and all gone. It didn't really hit me until like they said no more school and school got canceled. When they said that, I was, you know, a little emotional. Like that definitely hit hard. But I God says everything happens for a reason. So I'm just going to see what that reason is pretty soon and hopefully to finish my future strong for sure.
Now, I think I told you earlier, I live pretty close to Paradise Valley High School. And usually this time of year, you can tell when it's graduation because it sounds like they're lighting the fireworks off in my backyard. What is the plan for graduation? Are they actually going to have something formal? Is it going to be something they do over video?
Right. So that's like we're both in the same shoes. I honestly don't know for sure. But all I've heard is June or July, we're supposed to do a ceremony, which I'm hoping. I know we should be social distancing and stuff like that. But like I want my graduation. I want to be able to get the diploma from my principal with my friends and just be able to say that I did have a graduation. It might be social distance. That's fine. As long as we are able to have the ceremony, I would love for that to happen for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. You guys deserve this. All right, Giovanni, leave me with this. What are your plans next year for college?
So I'm actually going to be attending Grand Canyon University. So it was a great choice because of the fact that it was just money-wise, it was right there for me and my family. And I want to be a nurse. So it's a great program over at GCU. And I feel like I'd be set for a great success over there. And the good thing is I will still be, you know, working out, hopefully going back to PV and helping out Coach Davis with some of the players, like if he ever needed help, that'd be pretty cool because I'll still be in town. And if that happens, that'd be awesome. And I would probably just, you know, play intramural sports over at GCU to stay active for sure. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you joining me. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you.
Giovanni Haddad, Paradise Valley, the pride of the Trojans, 4-year varsity player. Did a little track as well, played basketball. I think played baseball.
Yep.
He is today's 2020 Vision guest. We'll see you next time right here on Sports360AZ.com.
All right, guys. Thank you.